Welcome to Destiny Revival Ministries Sermon of the Week. Thank you for joining us. You can stay up to date through our social media or give from the link in the details. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, I am honored to be able to speak to you this morning. I'm looking at the time, and I think I'm more nervous about the time than I am about doing the 777 thing correctly. But however, I'm going to go through and try not to speak too fast about what the Lord put on my heart to share with you this morning. Father, I just thank you for this time in your word, Lord God. Your word is powerful. It is sharper than any double-edged sword, dividing between soul and spirit, Lord God. And I thank you today that your word goes where man cannot go, Father God. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say this morning. Give us eyes to see what the Spirit would show us this morning, Lord God. Have your way in this place, Lord God. I thank you. Make my lips as a pen of a ready writer, Lord God, speaking only what you would have me say this morning, Lord God. Have your way. Let your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you who know me, I'm usually in kids' church, and it's my time to teach the kids. Miss Jen is in there today, so I'm so thankful for her who is taking over for me. But a couple weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, the Lord put Ezekiel on my heart. Now, don't get too nervous because I'm not a theologian. I don't pretend to be a theologian. I'm not going to teach you what the prophecies and the crazy creatures with the four eyes and all of those things mean. That's not my place here this morning. So, you know, don't get too nervous about it. But when Apostle Jane, how many of you remember Apostle Jane and Tom Hammond, who were here a few months ago, when they were here and they were praying for us, I saw the vision of Ezekiel's wheel. Again, hands raised if you know what I'm talking about. I will read it a little bit later. The wheel within the wheel. I saw this vision. And so during lunch on one time, I was talking to her and I said, what, you know, you're like good at all this stuff, you know? I'm like, so what does the wheel within the wheel mean? And she just started laughing. She's like, I should know this, but you know, I don't. So I'm like, all right, great, God. So this is all on what you're going to show me. So that was the thing. That's what this came out of, was the wheel within the wheel. And when I began to study Ezekiel, and I have a Founder's Bible that is amazing if you haven't ever heard of it before. It gives the Bible throughout all of history and where we are as a country and where we were as a country. But in my Founder's Bible, it has an introduction of every single chapter. And in Ezekiel, it gave the outline. It talks about his commission, the judgment against God's people, the judgment against the nations. But then it goes into the prophecies of hope and the glory restored. And this is what the Founder's Bible said, and this is what stuck out to me today. And you'll get, excuse me, I am not becoming you.
In Jesus' name.
All right. In the Founder's Bible, in the introduction, it said, the essence of what it reveals is quite simple. So it's talking about Ezekiel. This is the author of the Founder's Bible, his little idea of this. They did not know God. They forgot who they were, and they did not trust. I'm going to repeat that again so that it kind of sticks to you like it did to me. This is why Ezekiel was talking to the people. They did not know God. They forgot who they were, and they did not trust. Trust is the fruit of a relationship in which you know you are loved. Trust is the fruit of a relationship in which you know are loved. Now, the thing that the Lord directed me before I get to the wheel within the wheel is that as a people of God, many of us have forgotten who God is and who we are in him. Amen. And the big thing that stuck out to me is God is love. 1 John 4, it talks about God is love. He is love. He is the originator. We can go there. You're welcome to go there. I'm reading from the Amplified. The one who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him. For God is, everyone say it, love. He is the originator of love, and it is an enduring attribute of his nature. By this, the love of God was displayed in us, that he sent his one and only begotten the Son, the one who is truly unique, the only one of his kind, into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. I knew I was going to bum that. Thank you. Say it again, Travis. That is the atoning sacrifice and satisfying offering for our sins, fulfilling God's requirement for justice against sin and placing his wrath. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We as a people have lost of who God is and who we are in him. And if we get to that place where we're kind of like, who am I? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. And we're discouraged, depressed, frustrated. We need to go back to who is he? God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son. It all stems back to his love. Do we know our God and do we know his love? His love for us, his love, his everlasting love for us. You know, I taught a little bit on Thursday and we were teaching about prayer and the prayer of faith and how you have the prayer of faith. But the Bible says that you can have great faith and you can have prophecy and you can be like the greatest person that on earth. But if you don't have love, you have nothing. You have nothing. And it's time as a body that we go back to the simplicity of the gospel and who he is. He is love, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave of himself. If you were the only person on this earth that Jesus was to die for, he would have died for you. He gave his life. He gave of himself for each and every one of us. That's the kind of God we serve. That he first and foremost gave of himself so that we can have that personal relationship with him. And many of you have heard the scripture that says, you know, you can't please God without faith. Faith pleases God. But guess what? You can't have faith without love. Love worketh by faith. You know, I like it what Kenneth Hagin says. He's like, if faith was the vehicle, love is the engine. Love is what makes it work. So if you're finding yourself a little bit weak in faith, maybe you're frustrated and rightfully so. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We all go through things. The Bible doesn't say that you won't go through things. It doesn't say that we won't have the trials and tribulations. But the thing that we need to remember, it's not our God that created those trials and situations. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He's not the author and finisher of your destruction or your demise or depression or whatever it is that you are going through right now. That is not the God we serve. And for so long, believers, unfortunately, have given our God a bad name. Oh, well, did you see that hurricane that came by? Those evil people over there, God just, you know, wiped them out. That's not our God. That's not the God I serve. That's whatever God, Miss Jen, your kids are learning about now, the goodness of God. They're learning about the goodness of God and how good he is, and there's other false gods. That's not the God I serve. He gave of himself, and he became the propitiation. Say it again. It's not going to happen today. Go ahead, Travis. Everyone else say it. He became the place for us. Amen, for our sin. So he's definitely not going to wipe us out with a hurricane. He's not I've heard people say, God gave this illness to me to teach me a lesson. Wrong. He didn't hang on a cross and have all those stripes beat on his back and pour down blood and die for you to have a sickness or an illness or be barren or depressed or discouraged or whatever you may be suffering. That's not the God we serve. He is a God of love, and he loved you so much that he hung on the cross and he paid the price for your sin. He paid not just for sin. It doesn't end there. He paid the price for your healing. He paid the price for your peace of mind. He paid the price for your freedom so that you can live life and life more abundantly. Amen? Amen. He became that place for us. But so many times, just like the people in Ezekiel's day, we have forgotten. Because how many of you know life comes and we get discouraged, and that's why we meet together. That's why we come together. You guys are here today to be encouraged by one another. It encourages me to see you that I know, hey, I'm not alone in this. I have people of like mind and like faith that will come alongside me and pick me up when I'm discouraged or when I'm down or when I'm not feeling well or I'm not doing well to say, hey, no, this is what God's word says. No, don't stop there. Don't stay in that place. Don't stay there. That's not the truth. Because we've said this before. There might be some facts that are true. You may have gotten a report from the doctor. You may have suffered a job loss. That's, how many of you know that's a fact? For some of you, that could be a fact. You may have this diagnosis or something or other. But the truth is what trumps the fact. It's the knowledge of the truth that sets you free. And Jesus has the final say. It's what his word said. You see, we have power of life and death in the tongue. And so, you know, we talked a little bit about this on Thursday too. You know, the word of faith movement came out and you had pendulum swings of people getting Lamborghinis. And look, some of you are called to have a Lamborghini. I don't know. I don't want one. But what I'm saying is we've had some pendulum swings with the word of faith, but then we went to the other direction and we were trying to tell you, well, it's okay to not be okay. And it's okay if you're feeling this. And hey, I'm feeling this too. And then we've got this group over here. We're this group. And I feel for you. And we've come so much in our emotions and we come so much in the soul realm that we forget who we are in Christ. And I'm getting ahead of myself because that's the next part. When you recognize who he is and his love for you and who you have living on the inside of you as a believer in Christ, nothing can stop you. Amen. Nothing will stop you. Nothing will stop you. Not any sickness, not any depression, not discouragement, not a job loss, nothing. Because his truth trumps the facts of your situation. Amen. He is the solid rock on which we stand. If you have a foundation and you have that foundation laid correctly, it doesn't matter what storms will come. That foundation will stay there. So things might fall. You might have to have a rebuild. Some of us need a rebuild in our mind. The Bible says, renew your mind. Come on. If we're speaking words of death or life or saying things, and again, this is not condemnation. This is to push you. This is to encourage you to go to another place as believers. Because some of us, and this is taking a little bit, he made a Facebook post, but some of us are waiting on God to do something. He says, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to recognize what you have on the inside of you, that each and every one of you have a treasure on the inside of you. Each and every one of you have the power of the living God living on the inside of you. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in each and every one of us. Let's go there. Let's see. I missed one of my scriptures, but I'll get back there. Hallelujah. Sometimes I explode with scripture and I forget where the reference is. So please excuse me if I misquote something. I promise you it's in the Bible. It's not the first book of April, chapter 12. It's in there somewhere. It's just, you know, you read scripture so much and then I'll lose all the where it's referenced. But I'll back up. You guys know that scripture, but the one thing that the Lord showed me when I was studying, when we forget his love, when we forget our first love, and we talked a little bit about this again on Thursday, was if we get to the place where we talked about, you know, you got Cody and Jen. I wish they were here today, but so I could pick on them a little bit. They've got that, how many know they're newlyweds? You know, they've got that look in their eye. We were privileged to be at their wedding, and I just said, man, I took a video and I think I sent it to Amy and Mallory and I said, you can just see the love in their eyes. You can just feel the love in the room. You can just feel all the ooey gooeys and, you know, all that newlywed, first love type feelings. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we compared it to when Paul got saved. We have a young man, Paul, here, and he's still the same way a year later. How many of you, when you first got saved, you were so excited. You were so passionate. You were like, I can't wait to win the world for Jesus. I love him so much. Let me tell you what he did for me. And then through the years, it kind of just like, oh, well, we're not newlyweds anymore. And we were talking about, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Restore to me that passion, that first newlywed love for you, that it remind me, Lord God, of who you are. You are a God of love and you love me so much that you gave your life for me. That even when I make mistakes every day, even when I mess up every day, you paid that price for me that I can still come boldly before your throne room. I can still come to you and I can still weep in your arms and I can still lay my head on your chest and I can still come to you no matter what. Restore to me that passion. Restore to me that desire where I just can't wait to tell somebody about how good God is. Where have we gone as a people that we come in and we try to, and sometimes it's because of maybe ignorance or lack of wisdom or lack of not knowing what his word says. I do have a real Bible. I should probably put that for anybody that's like, why does she keep pointing to an iPad? It's because all my scriptures are written in my notes. But how we've come so far from what his word says. Amen. Or maybe we've been taught wrong. That we need a renewing of our mind. We need a Holy Ghost oil change. You know, if you drive your car for too long and you don't get the oil change, I don't really know what's going to happen. What's going to happen? Thanks. Your engine will burn up. Something bad will happen. It's not good, right? Ask Pastor Gabe because he's like the handyman, knows it all. But your car is going to burn up. We need a Holy Ghost renewing of the mind to what his word says about us. That when the going gets tough, and it will get tough, things will happen. All right, God, I'm not going to stay in this. I'm frustrated. I'm discouraged. I have this going on in my body. This is coming against my mind. I have this situation. All right, I have this relationship with him. I know a God who loves me. I know a God who cares for me. I know a God who gave his life for me. I'm going to go in his word. I'm going to dig in his word. And I'm going to find the truth, not what this fact. And sometimes it's not even fact. Sometimes it's a lie. Oh, nobody likes me. Or I'm just a wallflower. Or I'm just this. We label ourselves. I can't pay attention. I've got ADD. I've got this. We put labels on ourselves. And I'm not here to be a doctor and tell you what you do or don't have. That's not my job here today. My job here today is to tell you the truth of God's word. And as people of Christ, we have this sword. We have this tool that the world doesn't have. And when we come back to our first love, and we get excited like we did when we were first saved, you are going to be unstoppable. The world is going to change. We will have revival. When the church gets revived of who they are, whose they are and who they are, revival will happen naturally because you're just exuding the fragrance. We're a fragrance to among many, the Bible says. We're fragrances. Again, I can't tell you that chapter and verse, but it's in there, I promise. Just Google fragrance of God. You are a fragrance. What kind of fragrance are you letting out? Do you stink? I've got a toddler, so anyone... And this will loosen up some of you in here that are frowning at me right now. But anyone that farts in the house, she will let you know. Hey, you stink, she'll say. Thanks, Josie. Now that everybody knows that somebody let one. You stink. What fragrance are you letting out? What's coming out of your mouth? You know, we had that little kid's song, be careful, little eyes, what you see. But be careful, big mouth, what you say. And it's not about being legalistic, because again, another pendulum fling, like the word of faith was like, don't say that. Don't say, you shouldn't say that. And we take this as a sword to each other. Chop, chop, chop. You shouldn't say that. Oh, don't say that. Don't do that. Don't you know what God's word says? Instead of being led by the Spirit of God and saying, sometimes somebody just needs a hug. Sometimes somebody just needs a cup of coffee or shoulder to cry on. Now, if they continue down that same path 6 months later, then you might say, hey, let's do some word study together. Let's see what God's word says about that. Well, what does his word say? But we're so quick to be word polices with others, but then with ourselves, we don't. We make excuses.
Oh, that's so good.
We make excuses. What, who he is and who we are in here. He is a God of love, and he loves you so passionately that he thought that you should be alive at such a time as this. You know, I had a rebuke from the Lord one time. I was so irritated. I don't know if it was during COVID or some stupid thing that was going on in the world. And I was like, God, what a horrible time to raise my children. Why would you give me kids in such a crappy world? I'm just being real with you guys. This is my conversation with the Lord. I was so irritated. I'm like, the world's awful and it's getting worse. And it got quiet and Then the rebuke came, and he said, I gave you 4 kids for such a time as this because they are going to be the Esthers and the Davids and the Josiahs, and I have equipped you to raise them at such a time as this. So shut your mouth and speak my word over them, because what's greater, my word or the crappy world that you claim to live in? I'm still God. I'm still God. And on a side note, I will swing back around. On a side note, he is still God and he is sovereign. However, he is not in control of everything that you do. That's another thing that bugs me about our God. Well, he's in control. He clearly was in control in the garden when Adam had a choice. He's sovereign. He's holy. There's none like our God. You can have the false gods, and like they did in Moses' time where the serpent ate things up. So some of us would have been scared. If we had a demonstration of some satanic power in here, some of us would be like, oh my God. Be like crossing yourself and get me my oil and like shaking because there was a demonstration of a demonic power. There's a real demonic. There are false gods. But our God is so much greater. So much greater, so much stronger. He is holy. He is sovereign, but he gives us a will. You have a choice. You have a choice what you choose to believe. You have a choice as to what you hear and what you give power to. Amen? So yes, he is an amazing God, and he has a plan, but it's ours to determine if we're going to line up with that plan or we're going to line up with whatever facts or whatever somebody else tells us or what maybe we've learned that's been wrong as a kid. Are we going to line ourselves up with the truth? And that's the little part. I'm minding the time. Don't worry, Pastor Mark. We are, when we recognize, I love you, Ruby. I'm so glad you're feeling better. I love her laugh. When we recognize who God is, he's a God of love. He's not this God here to slash you, beat you up, bash you over the head, crush you with his word. He's there to meet you right where you're at, right wherever you're at. But once we recognize who he is, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop at the appreciation. Thank you. It's not going to happen, guys. It's just not going to happen. I do homeschool my kids. I'm a certified elementary school teacher. I promise. I even have a master's degree. I just cannot say that word. It's not happening today. Probably never. It doesn't stop there at salvation. But there's so much he died for. Your peace of mind, your prosperity, your health. And the Bible says in Romans 8, if you haven't read Romans, you need to read Romans. Romans is powerful to tell us who we are in Christ. Romans 8, 17, and I'm going to read a little bit before that. And it says, "And the spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we have no obligation, not to our flesh, but our human nature, our worldliness, or sinful capacity to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you are going to die." So that goes back to a little bit of what I said. If we're going to live according to our flesh, our emotions, you're not going to live a life in that more abundantly. You have a mind, you have a will, and you have emotions. That's part of your soul realm. But greater than that, you have a spirit living on the inside of you. And when you receive Jesus, his spirit comes and dwells on the inside of you. And here, if you read further down, it says we are joint heirs. We are fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his spiritual blessing and inheritance. And this isn't just any inheritance, y'all. It's not like you have the grandma who left you like a dollar under her mattress. This is like the lotto of inheritance. We become joint heirs with him. That should excite us. That it's not just my salvation. He's my provider. He's my peace. He's my hope. He supplies my needs according to his riches and glory. I'm joint heirs with him. I am seated with him in heavenly places. If you find yourself in a not so heavenly place, where are you seated? What came out of your mouth? What can you shift to change that situation? And I'm not suggesting that you fake it until you make it. That's not what I'm saying. But his word is truth. His word will trump any situation. And faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. It's not just at one time. You know, and that's why I love this bunch that comes on. And this isn't, again, don't read into anything I'm saying if you don't come on a Thursday night. This is not what I'm saying. But a lot of the people that come on Thursday nights are people that probably know the word better than I do. You got Mr. David, Miss Jan, Pastor Sharon. However, they don't come going, well, she's only 29. It's a joke. You guys can laugh. She's almost 46 years old. What does she know? I'm old enough to be your mom. They don't do that. They could. They don't do that. They come and they're hungry for God's word. Lord, what can you show me? What can I learn? What can I get? I've told this testimony before. We were doing Bible study in our home and we were doing some Andrew Womack teachings. And it was just more foundational stuff. What does destiny believe? So you know where we stand on some subjects. And, you know, one person had said, well, I already know all that. I don't need to come. It's boring. I thought, that's really too bad, you know? Well, then Allison, if you know Allison and Cody, they're our family members, our long lost destiny family members that are in Oklahoma. Well, Allison and her little sweet self is in our home, and she came in, and I don't know why I apologized, but I was like, I'm really sorry. You know, we flow kind of in the anointing on Sundays. We've got worship and the word, and it's just not as basic. She goes, oh no, I love it. She goes, every time I come, I think, God, what can you show me? And man, again, what a rebuke from God. He was like, just stop talking, you know? And I'm like, okay, sorry, Lord. But I thought, you know, that's how I want to be. Every time I come here, I don't care that I'm pastoring with my husband. I want to come and say, God, change me. Transform me. I don't want to leave these doors the same way I came in. But we go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Even if it's just a little different. Even if it's just a verse I went away with. I remember one time, and I've mentioned this before, Miss Phoebe had brought up the verse, sweet speech increases learning. And I mean, that stuck with me. You know, when I go to rebuke one of my kids, she's covering her head now. It's her birthday, y'all, today. Happy birthday, baby. Now she's embarrassed. You know, the Lord will say to me, hey, that's not very sweet. You want them to learn, change your speech, change your tone, change your direction. But that stuck with me. Sometimes it's just a little snippet, a little word, but I don't want to leave the same way. I don't want to leave the same way I came in with the same mindset or thinking like I know everything or I don't need all. Well, you know, how did that go today? Well, they were kind of off and then did you hear how I worship or did you hear that? She messed up or why does he always do that? Or, you know, I don't want to be that person. But Father, what can I learn today? What can I take? So there's a lost and dying world. This isn't about us. He died for the entire world. We need to stop keeping this into us, but so many of us are struggling with that first part that God loves me and who I am in Christ that we're just stuck. Spinning our wheels. Because we still think God's mad at us or he's not done this because we've done something wrong. What else can I do? And we go on this performance reel of what can I do to get God to do this? Instead of realizing what he's already done, and how do I appropriate that? How do I recognize that? Again, it comes by hearing the word of God, the word of God, putting yourself, and again, it might just be one scripture, you know, and this is where it gets kind of tricky. And we talked about this on Thursday because we were talking about our own personal prayer time. You should pray. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, and Jenny, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but he said, I don't pray for a half hour, but I don't go any longer without praying for a half hour. I don't go a half hour without praying. Let me say that correctly again. I don't pray for a half hour, but I don't go for a half hour without praying. We should have our disciplines, but my discipline might look different than EC's. I have four kids that I'm homeschooling. I have a pastor that I'm serving. It's going to look different. He runs a business. That's between him and God. I love what Brother Dale said on Thursdays. It's your own personal relationship. He might get up and drive to work, and that's his time with the Lord. Mr. David just retired. He might get up and spend 3 hours. So should he feel guilty? I'm not as spiritual as David. Well, if I want to do that. And that's kind of what we've been taught. Well, how long did you spend in your prayer closet? Well, how long did you spend doing this? That's between you and the Father. But I recommend you do it. You go without food for so long, you might look skinny. We tried it. And then we went back to eating food. Don't look too closely. It's not nice. But spiritually, you go for so long without the word. You go for so long without prayer. You're going to feel it in your body. You're going to feel that inside of you. Just like if you went without food, you're going to die. You're going to starve. We need to not spiritually starve. Amen? Amen. We need to spend the time in the word. And we talked a little bit about faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, but faith worketh by love. So again, stems back to, I need to know the love of the Father. Kenneth Hagin also said, if something's wrong in my body, like if he felt the pain in his body, he didn't say, well, where's my faith? I mean, they called him the father of faith, faith movement. He said, I checked my love walk. He didn't check how much faith he had. He checked his love walk because faith worketh by love. So it all stems back to I love because he first loved me. And I can't love my neighbor as myself if I don't even know the love of the Father for me. I can't even begin to be a joint heir with Christ if I don't even know how much he loved me. If I can't even go back to the first. We want to go into the deepest second heaven realms and this court and that court. And I'm not downplaying any of that. But some of us haven't even recognized the love of the Father for us. And it's not that you recognize it and then you move on. When you know the love of the Father, if I know the love of my husband, whether we're newlywed or, I almost forgot, oh my gosh, it's terrible, 19 years into marriage. It's usually the guy that forgets. 2005, 19 years. I should still know the love of my spouse. That doesn't change. In fact, it should grow deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. How many couples can testify of that who've even surpassed those 19 years? It goes deeper and deeper. I don't want to go so deep that I miss the first steps of love. So if you're struggling in your faith, if you're struggling with those things, go back to your love walk. Go back to we love because he first loved us. He loves you in spite of you. I don't know about you, but I mess up every day and he still loves me. The difference is what do you do when he loves you and rebukes you and says, hey, don't do that. Stop gossiping. Stop talking about people. Stop doing this. What do you do with it? But we have to renew our minds to the word and who he says we are. When you know that love and you know of a, if you remember too, this, I keep going back to that newly, for some reason, I keep going back to that newlywed love. You get those little butterflies and you just can't wait to text or call or, you know, like you get kind of like nervous and like, oh, I'm going to just like, make sure I would dress really properly. Like, I remember when we first met, I was teaching elementary school and leading worship at our church, but I was also going to grad school. So you think my plate is full now. That was preparation for now. So I was teaching full time. I was going to grad school. I was leading worship. Well, the particular day that we met, I was not dressed as I had wanted to be dressed, you know, to meet your loved one. I think I look like, no offense to any gym teachers. And then one time I said something about a truck driver and everyone got offended because we have Andrew's a truck driver. I'm like, Andrew probably didn't even care. So sorry, Andrew, if I offended you. I had a hat that looked like a truck driver and everyone's like, well, what? Anyway, but I look like an elementary gym school teacher. I had sneakers on and khakis and I didn't want to meet anybody. I wasn't prepared, you know? But you remember those first times where you dress up, you wear your best clothes, and you put your cologne or perfume on, and make sure you've got your breath doesn't stink and all that stuff, all those things. You prepare yourself. We need to go back to our first love. Jesus, renew us back to that first love where I just can't wait to tell somebody about you. I just can't wait to let them know of your goodness and your love, because the world still thinks he's an angry God killing them in a hurricane, giving them COVID. The world still thinks, I'm not done. You don't need to put that on. I'm aware of the time. I'm not him. That's just going to distract me. That's my playing, by the way. We call it the Phantom April music. I'm not that anointed, y'all, that I just can sneak in and float and play. Cody from Oklahoma recorded me. And that's what that is. But that, I'm aware, I won't go much longer. I haven't even gotten to the wheel, but that I'll get there now. the phantom April playing. That would be amazing to clone yourself and just, okay, the other you go play keyboard. But that's why we need volunteers, right? There goes back to that volunteers. Because you can't clone me, and I'm only doing what God tells me to do. That's where it's at. But I want to go back to that place where I recognize the love of God, that I'm unstoppable, I'm unchangeable, because I'm joint heirs with him, and that same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, that wherever I walk, I'm not in such a rush that I miss that homeless person, or I miss that mother crying, instead I'm not judging her. Wow, she doesn't know how to discipline her kids. No, I'm going to say, hey, can I help you? Do you need some help? Or because the waiter didn't give me enough water, well, I'm not tipping them good today. It's time as a body of believers that we are different because we are different. Because you were bought with a price. You are not your own. We've become a self society, all about me. What can you do for me? We even treat our churches like that, believe it or not. Walk in the door. They only have two bathrooms. Oh my gosh. I got to walk all that way. Oh, their drummer or their keyboard player or this or that. They only have this. How are you going to meet my need? What are you going to do for me? Yes, I went there because the Holy Spirit's obviously telling me to go there. We are to die to ourselves. God, what can I do for you? How can I serve you in this day? You know, I brought this example up before because it is so critical. And she's with her children today. Two of them are overcoming. But Pastor Gabe's wife, Amy, has six children. And she's an amazing mother. And she had to go to Costco that day, but it wasn't time. You know, she's got 1,001 things to do. She also homeschools. And in the midst of her day, God said, go to Costco. Packed up the kids, went. In there is Mallory, who is depressed, wanting a divorce. I think you were suicidal at that point. And God said, and Amy was asking the Lord, Lord, I need opportunities. A mother of six, I need opportunities. Give me opportunities to meet to those that are discouraged, depressed, downtrodden. And there's Mallory. And the rest is history. She could have had 1,001 excuses of all people to not go at that time. A mother of six. But she carted those kids up, met Mallory, and now we have an amazing worship leader. And not just that. Mallory is amazing. Her family is amazing. They're family now. Amen. And God transformed Mallory just out of Amy's obedience. because she knew who she was and she knew the power that was within her. And she was listening to that voice. And that's where I'm getting into the wheel within the wheel. In Ezekiel, if you go to Ezekiel 1, there's these crazy creatures. I think Noelle and I shared pictures one time and we both were like, well, that's freaky. I don't know about you. I'd probably freak out if it showed up in my room. It says, now I looked at the living beings. I saw one wheel on the ground beside the living beings for each of the four of them. Regarding the appearance of the wheels and their construction, they gleamed like crystallite, beryl, olivine, and the four were made alike. Their appearance and construction were a wheel within a wheel. Whenever they moved, they went in any of them in their four direction without turning as they moved. As they moved, they moved. As they moved, they moved. Whenever the living beings moved, the wheels moved. Are you getting where I'm going with this? And the wheel rose along with them, for the spirit of life of the living beings was in the wheels. Whenever those went, these went. And whenever those came to a stop, these came to a stop. When we know who we are in Christ and we know the love of God and we know the power of God that's within us, just like those wheels, we should have a synergy with God, an ambiotic relationship where you go, where he goes, you go. What he does, you does. When he says stop, you stop. When he says be quiet, you be quiet. When he says speak, you speak. Every time he moves, you move. If we want to see revival and if we want to see a world change, we need to be a wheel within the wheel. As the Holy Spirit leads me, I'm going to do it. If he tells you to give $10,000, you give 10. Some of you, he's telling you to give a million. Some of you, he's telling you, you haven't even given a dollar. And yeah, I went there too. Being obedient to the voice of the Lord. Maybe you're like me and you always have to have the last word. Maybe he's telling you to stop. Even if you're right. And he's telling you, hey, stop talking. Maybe you keep professing that, well, I'm just an introvert and I don't like to confront people. And he's saying, I've given you a voice and you've let the enemy shut you up far too long. Speak. There is a world dying around you at the grocery store, at the gas station, where you work, in your home. And it doesn't mean that we take the word and don't you know that homosexuality is a sin? It is a sin. And no, we don't advocate for that. But don't you know that they're people and they don't know who they are and they don't know that God loves them? That's right. And maybe just going out to dinner and having a non-sword conversation where I'm digging them with the word could be a lot better and building relationship with them. A wheel within the wheel. God, what are you telling me to do? What are you telling me to stop doing? Where can I go to that next level? The Lord told me this year to take it up higher. And again, it didn't mean like I had to spend 1,000 hours in prayer and levitate off the ground and hover over my keyboard and all these beautiful songs came out. No, he meant like, again, when he told me to stop talking or, oh no, you wanted to text that, don't do that. Let it go. It doesn't matter. Oh, you're wondering about that. Stop wondering about that. You know, I think what you sent something to me, Mallory and Amy and I one day. It was like this woman was like, well, you know, she's doing a little reel and she's like, well, it must be true because I thought it was true. Wait, what? So Will and I've given this example before. I could look at Roma and give the most beautiful smile. And then look at Anne and she'd be like, what? She hates me. What? She must hate me. Well, does she look at you this way? Yeah. Well, how does she say it to you? And then we go on and we've created these scenarios in our mind that aren't even true. Amen. We are called to a higher place and that higher place is in the spirit realm, not in our soul realm. The word of God, again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword to separate between your soul and your spirit. Just like prayer, I wouldn't go without reading this. Because when I get in my emotions, and women, we can do it the most. We have some of the biggest excuses because we've got hormones raging through our bodies and all these crazy changes. Men, you got it easy sometimes. They're just like, they have that nothing box we don't have. How many women have asked their spouse, what are you thinking about? Nothing. How can you think about nothing? What? And they're just like, and I'm like, I have like 1,000. He'll look at my computer and he's like, oh my gosh, you've got like 1,000 tabs open. I'm like, You don't? But that's how women work. That's how my mind is. I've got 1,000 tabs, and I'll be, and he's like, you think too much. I'm like, well yeah. But those things may be true, and as women, we do deal with those things. But sometimes we need to close the tab. Sometimes we need to apply God's word to that tab. Don't, he's going to have trouble later, you guys. He's going to be like, shut those tabs, babe. Or I'll bring something up to him. He'll be like, close the tab. And I'm like, just close the tab. But how many of you know we sometimes need to close the tab and apply God's word to it? You know, the Lord showed me, and I'm, and this might be TMI for some of you all, but I remember during that time of the month, there's like a week, and I would realize I'd get real like I just couldn't, sorry, Elise, again, happy birthday, babe. But I would just be like, I just couldn't stand my kids. Like, don't even look at me. Don't talk to me. And like, they don't touch me. I don't want to be touched. Just leave me. And then I began to recognize, and I was like, oh, shoot. And God said, now that you recognize, don't do it again. That's not an excuse to become a you-know-what. Well, you know, it's this or that. No. I'm called to die to myself and to live a different life. I'm called to come up higher. And now that I know, to the date, I'm responsible. And my sweet speech increases learning. And there's still power of life and death in my coming. He didn't say, well, just because it's that time of month or just because you're overcoming this or you're doing that, that gives you the excuse to be a jerk. It doesn't. And if we start to come to realize the love of the Father that he has for us, we love because he first loved us. My faith worketh by that love. You will be unstoppable. If I stop trying to, and I'll use, she just left, but I'll use this as a good example. Elise and I, she's like my walking buddy. We were running, and then I realized I really don't like to run. Sorry to all my Billy, and it's not fun for me. You know, we've got like marathon runners in this house. And I was like, yeah, I ran a mile. And Billy's like, yeah, I just did like 13 yesterday. I'm like, so anyway, sorry, Billy, I'd pick on you a bit there. We had to, since he picked on Mike, we have to pick on you, you know. But anyhow, she's my walking buddy. We walk at night and we are talking and she tells me things and I'm glad because, you know, when your 12-year-old talks to you, you listen. And so we were talking we were just talking about friendships and things like that. And she said, you know, Mom, I really like such and such and this. And I'm like, well, you know, I was like, that's good. You should always try to find the golden people. She's like, yeah. I was like, because if you dig for dirt, you're going to find it. I want to be the person that finds your gold. I want to be the person, instead of digging for the dirt and trying to find out what's wrong all the time, I'm going to see the gold in you. I'm going to look at you with the love of Christ and the love of God and see you as he sees you. Saved or unsaved? Amen. That doesn't mean you accept them in their sin, because that's also wrong. That doesn't mean that sin is acceptable. That's not true. God doesn't love you any less, but you could be in a slippery road to hell. Yes, I said it. And your life will be miserable if you continue to condone your sin. He still loves you. He's not going, oh, you, a sin, separation. He loves you. But your life's going to be a mess. And you're not going to be powerful and effective. Because you don't realize the truth of his word and of the cross. And whose you are. And who you are in him. Amen. It's time we come up higher. It's time we become a wheel within a wheel. A good symbiotic relationship. Where I feed off him. I can't go without reading your word. I'm so hungry for you, God. I want to feast on your word. Not so I can travel to Jerusalem in my sleep, but so that I can, when he tells me at the stop sign, turn right, go into that store. There's a lady there that needs $5. So-and-so needs a hug today. Don't tell them what they think. Their thinkings are awful. They just need a hug today. Because we can be so right and we can have the best prophetic word in the world to somebody, but a wrong word given at a right word at the wrong time can be detrimental. If we're not led by the Spirit of God, if we're not that wheel, that relationship, a wheel within the wheel, led by His Spirit in all that we do. Because you're not just natural, you are supernatural. Each and every one of you in here. It's not just the fivefold. We do need the fivefold ministry. It's biblical. There are apostles, teachers, pastors, prophets, evangelists. There's fivefold ministry, but our job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. To encourage you and prod you a little bit to be everything that God's called you to be, no matter if you ever stand behind this pulpit or preach behind it. What are you doing to affect your world in your day-to-day walk? I want to challenge you today. You can turn the phantom music on. Phantom April, please come. Clone myself. When music comes on, I worship, so it kind of just throws me, like, you'll see me sometimes if I try to exhort and play keyboard and do this, it just kind of, Father, I just thank you for your word today, Lord God. Father, that you are challenging us to be that wheel within the wheel. Lord God, just like in Ezekiel, Lord God, when you said, Lord God, at the end of all the judgment that you brought, that you turned their hearts of stone and gave them a heart of flesh, Lord God. You came and you fulfilled the law. You fulfilled those things so that we can have a heart of flesh, so we can have you in that relationship, Lord God. Father, may we all come to that realization that you've turned our hearts of stone into a heart of flesh at the cross, that you paid the price, Lord Jesus. So that we don't have to live naturally in our emotions, in our flesh, stuck, wheel spinning. But Father God, that we can be led by your word, by your truth, by your Spirit. Just lift your hand in this place today, Lord. I pray, Father, that each and every person in this place, Lord God, just have that conversation with him, Lord. That you would speak to each and every heart, Lord, where we can come up higher in our walk. Where we can come up for, Father God, we're not begging for a move of God. We're not begging for revival, but we become a move of God. We become revival because we realize that the power of the living God dwells in each and every one of us. That we become the manifested sons of God, that wherever we walk, that our shadows heal the sick. Greater things than these shall you do. That, Father, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, by the washing of your word. Whether it's just one word, one scripture, Lord God, one song that you are setting in our hearts, Lord, may we never be the same, that you would speak to each and every heart in this place, Lord God, to be the difference. Maybe it's in our homes. Maybe it's with our children. Maybe it's with our leaders. Maybe it's in our workplace. Maybe it's with our spouses. Maybe it's with ourselves. Some of you are your own worst enemy. And I hear the Lord saying to you this morning, stop calling my children dogs. Watch what you speak over yourself. You know, as parents, we get pretty upset when someone speaks about our kids. And God's not angry with you, but it hurts his heart when you speak such horrible things about yourself. You are the King's kid. You are joint heirs. You are seated with him in heavenly places. You are a son and the daughter of the Most High. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. You are an overcomer. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are empowered to prosper in your coming and going. You have favor everywhere you go. This is what he says you are to say about yourself. Father, we just decree and declare, God, that we will be a people who will be the move. Submitted to your word, submitted to your truth. And I silence the lying lips of the enemy that speak insolent ones against your righteous ones today. I silence those lips that speak against your righteous one. When you know Jesus, you are the righteousness of God in him. You have right standing with him. So I silence every lie that come against your people, that come against the church, Lord, that you are building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for the power of your word. I pray that it settles into hearts, God, that will be watered. Father, that we would be empowered and encouraged to be better, to be the difference, to be everything you've called us to be. Because you have won the victory. You paid the price. You said it is finished. And we can have victory in you. And as we go day to day, Lord God, may we be encouraged by the truth of your word. Not by what we see, but by who you are. I just break discouragement off of you in this place today. Some of you have been so discouraged, and rightfully so. I pray, Father, that you would restore hope, restore dreams, visions, Lord God. Stir in them a renewing of the mind. Stir in them a renewed dreams, renewed hope, renewed vision in Jesus' name. Let them begin to see themselves as you see them. You've heard the phrase rose-colored glasses. Well, they're stained with his blood. When he looks at you, he sees his blood. When he looks at you, he sees his sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Can we give the Lord a shout of praise? Very anointed of the Lord. I'm saying everything positive. And what I'm about to say isn't negative. I believe she's received some impartation from me in that her messages are like the mercy of the Lord. They're enduring forever. No, I'm just joking. Praise God. No. Blessed to be here today. I want you to stay in fellowship. Travis, will you come up and just give us a little bit of marching orders on how we want this to be done, please?
So, we're going to gather together in fellowship and enjoy the wonderful food that has been brought. If I can have a couple of men volunteer to help set up the room as usual. Tanya will need two for the tables, and then those two can also fall back to help with the chairs. I would ask everyone who is staying to please pick up their belongings and kindly take their fellowship to this side of the room. That way we can set everything up for y'all to enjoy the meal. And we're not pushing y'all over anything else impolitely. And then we're gonna stack all these chairs over here, guys. They're ready to stack. And we might do one row here. We have about 60, 70 people here. Two for what? Oh, and two. And two women. Tanya needs two women volunteers.
Fantastic.
Yes. Perfect. Oh, we have three. Wow. The Lord multiply it.
Praise God. Now, really quickly, I believe Wednesday will be the night. I want to do, for those of now, everybody, we're going to be doing the walkthrough next Sunday. This is not for those of you for next Sunday. Everybody is going to be going through the building next Sunday. For those of you, especially our construction crew, all of those guys that are wanting to do a lot of the hard labor, because we're going to have to get like waste disposal bin out here, because we're going to have to get rid of a bunch of stuff. For those of you that want to do a quick walkthrough in the week, it's going to be after working hours, probably about 6:30. Not when it's, because they've already cut off the power over there, so we want to still be able to see what's in there. So it's 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday. Everybody that's going to be contributing in terms of actually physical labor, I would like for you guys, the main crew, you already know who you are. But in addition to that, I want to welcome you to meet me here at 6:30, just so that we can do a walkthrough just kind of give an idea of what's going to be taking place, how this is all going to look. 6:30 on Wednesday night, we'll do a walkthrough. Is that okay? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing response. Is that okay? Thank you, Jesus. 6:30 Wednesday night. Praise God. Be here and we'll do a walkthrough on the new side of the building. Somebody say, Jesus is building his church. Hallelujah. And say this, this is my house. And I'm so glad to see everything that God's about to do. Hallelujah. Give him one more shout of praise.